Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Sitting aboard his intergalactic Star Destroyer, Darth Vader looks out over the horizon of space at the fleet he's commanding and the small rebel force that he's there to extinguish. Calling for the attack to begin, Vader suddenly feels a disturbance in the force close to his position. It is then that through the floor of the command room, Venom oozes out from between two panels and stands tall before him.
There are innocents in those ships, and I will cut you down before I let you destroy them.
Vader looks at him, sparks up his lightsaber, and says,
"We will see who cuts who today."
It's Sith Lord versus Deadly Protector. It's Eddie versus Ani. It's Darth Vader versus Venom, today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stekanis. Season 6's incredible matchups continue with another battle that can only be called, I don't know, tremendous. Let's go with that. In one corner, you have Darth Vader, the Sith Lord, formerly known as Anakin Skywalker, arguably one of the most iconic villains in Star Wars and all of cinema for that matter. And in the other corner, you have Venom, a complex symbiote and anti-hero from Marvel Comics who has a somewhat complicated relationship with its host, most famously, Eddie Brock. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed, and surprisingly, this hypothetical battle has been discussed and debated many, many times on the internet. However, it has never gotten a clear consensus on who would win until today, that is. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
I, as always, am fired up to have Darth Vader on the show. He's been on before. He's won before. We've had Venom on the show before. He's won before as well. What do those two have in common? I was repping the character both times. So when we looked at having Darth Vader on the show again, I came forward and I said, a lot of people are talking about Darth Vader versus Dr. Doom. And James Gavsey in the boardroom stood up and he cried. He cried tears of sadness and fear. And he said, oh, Ray, Dr. Doom, he's too powerful. What would Darth Vader possibly do against Dr. Doom? Please don't hurt me, Ray. Please. And so I said, fine, let's do Venom. He's fresh in the public sphere, and I'm ready to kick your butt with a symbiote today.
Ray, I'm sorry to say it. I think he took one too many chairs, folding chairs to the head as a former pro wrestler. Look, of course, you got to have great matchups. Few. You really do. And you got to have, you know, matchups that maybe have been discussed before, but not enough. And Dr. Doom versus Darth Vader actually has been discussed in detail, has come to conclusions on these other great versus battles. But, you know, this is something we're doing. We want to come up with crazy out-of-the-box battles that make so much sense. we've been having some of the most insane and, might I say, brilliant matchups we've ever had in the history of the Who Would Win show. And when you have Darth Vader in an episode, the stakes, the consequences, the sheer fallout of an episode of this magnitude actually may be unprecedented for the show. Again, Darth Vader, my favorite character in all of Star Wars, the pressure's on. And when you have something this spectacular, this epic, an episode that may change the landscape of geek culture itself, you need a judge who doesn't just know geek culture, but is at the forefront of pushing it forward, making another appearance on the Who Would Win show. It's the mayor of Megamind, now available on Peacock. It's a great series. It's the only voice actor not in Starfield. It's the world's tallest voice actor as well. It's Roger Craig Smith. Roger, welcome back to Who Would Win.
What up? Oh, my goodness. Honored to be here again. I know that my last appearance was quite controversial. I'm hoping to replicate that here today by bringing in God knows what outside sort of argument, be it soap, be it 1980s two-ply toilet paper.
Sure.
But I hope to honor the accolade of being asked to be here yet again by disappointing fans everywhere with just a horrific decision at the end of this.
And those of you who are not on Patreon will have no idea what Roger is talking about.
No.
This is why you probably want to go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and you, all these references will start to fall into place for you.
You guys are missing so much by not being Patreon supporters. It's toilet paper and soap talk. It's
a wild
one
this week.
It's an investment in your future, is
what it
is.
Without a doubt.
Listen, Roger, let's just kind of cut to the chase. Yeah, your last appearance on the show, it was a crazy episode. It was Mickey Mouse versus Bugs Bunny. The pressure was on.
Yep.
I mean, this is a crazy, crazy matchup.
Yeah.
And then you came to the conclusion that Bugs Bunny would beat Mickey Mouse due to the fact that Bugs Bunny has bigger teeth that would sink into Mickey Mouse's flesh better, despite the Toon Force that both of these characters had. And the internet kind of erupted. Some people approved, some people didn't. But I got to tell you, I really, really appreciated how you kind of composed yourself and handled all of these comments that came your way. What is your secret to being able to stand up to the hordes, the masses, and just say, no, that's what I did. I said it.
Mute.
Oh, yeah.
The mute feature and just block is just the greatest thing ever. It's just mute and block all day long. Yeah, no, general apathy, I find, really also is very helpful when it comes to interactions on the internet. Just kind of going like, really? I mean, you guys say it best with the way you guys describe the way this show is. Like, we're ignoring everything that's like of actual importance going on in the world.
Right.
So anybody that's going to come at me and be aggressive towards me over my decision over who would win between Bugs Bunny. And I love the vitriolic hatred on the internet of God knows what. Like, you just insert random fan base of this to that. And yeah, it's further proof of the fact that in all reality, there's never been a better time to be a human being and alive. Because, you know, problems by today's standards, at least in the social media front, tend to really just sort of like bring home that we have no real problem.
You know, I kind of go with that and I add on to it too. If I ever get into it, people, I just ask them, hey, you know, I'll take whatever you're saying to me very seriously. If you can answer me this, have you ever actually kissed a girl?
There you go.
And right. And typically the answer, like Ray Skinner says, you know, it's no, but you know, it's important to, you know, anyway, I think how you handle yourself is great. You've given some wins to Ray. You've given some wins to me, but I think today's episode is really interesting because you've got an iconic villain versus, I guess, someone who's now an iconic anti-hero lot of stuff in between.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better judge to handle today's episode. So with all that being said, let's get the party started. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Star Wars, the Sith Lord who gives asthmatics everywhere a new hope, Darth Vader. And representing Marvel Comics, the alien who eats more people before 9 a.m. than most people do all day, Venom.
These are true facts. I mean, these
most are people. Most people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and who will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all of the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit www.whowouldwinstore.com to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts and merch. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Venom.
Venom is a symbiotic alien in the world of Marvel Comics, the version I'll be using today. He was created by Todd McFarlane and Dave Michelinie and first appeared fully in The Amazing Spider-Man number 300 back in 1988. Originally showing up in Marvel Comics as the alien costume, Venom was just an outfit that Spider-Man wore. However, all was not as it appeared, as that costume turned out to be Venom, who could switch from host body to host body as it suits him. Venom eventually picked his favorite host in Eddie Brock, and with this over-the-top hunger for violence, became more than a match for everyone's favorite wall crawler on several occasions. Look, Venom is tough, strong, mean, and diabolical in many ways. Fun fact, did you know that the original idea for Venom was far different than what we saw today? That is a fact, as Venom author David Michelinie originally saw this character as a pregnant woman who lost her husband and her child tragically, which then caused Venom to get interested in her as a grieving host. And then he would just take her over and use her grief to hurt people. That's obviously not the version that Tom Hardy gave us later, but that is Venom.
I mean, either version, I think, would work great.
It is a weird take on the character, to be quite honest with you. I don't think I would have liked it nearly as much. I'm glad we went with shady newsman Eddie Brock.
Newsman. Yes, 100%. All right, now here are the details for Darth Vader. Darth Vader, one of the central characters in the Star Wars franchise, was created by George Lucas and made his first appearance in the original Star Wars film, later retitled Star Wars Episode IV A New Hope, which was released on May 25th, 1977. Darth Vader, born Anakin Skywalker, is initially introduced as a slave on the desert planet of Tatooine. Anakin's exceptional piloting skills and strong connection to the Force led to his liberation and apprenticeship under Jedi Knight Obi-Wan Kenobi. His journey is marked by extraordinary feats, deep love, and tragic loss. Despite being prophesied as the chosen one to bring balance to the Force, Anakin's fear of loss and manipulation by the dark side lead him down a path from which there seems no return. His transformation to Darth Vader under the tutelage of Emperor Palpatine marks the rise of one of the galaxy's most formidable Sith Lords, instrumental in the fall of the Jedi Order and the rise of the Galactic Empire. And here's an interesting fact about Darth Vader. Did you know that Darth Vader was originally not going to be Luke Skywalker's father? It's true. Darth Vader and Anakin Skywalker were not one and the same in the original script for Star Wars A New Hope, as well as the script notes for the following films. Originally, the script notes had Luke actually meeting a spirit version of his father while training on Dagobah in The Empire Strikes Back. Luke, I know, right? Luke and Vader still have a confrontation, but Vader is no longer Luke's father, which completely changes the nature of their conflict and everything moving forward into Return of the Jedi. This is actually why Obi-Wan tells Luke in A New Hope that Vader killed his father, as they were originally two different people. Since they were made to be one and the same, it now just sounds like Obi-Wan is alluding to the fact that Vader destroyed all that was good in Anakin when he went to the dark side. Pretty heavy stuff when you think about it. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Roger, do you have any questions before we get started?
Did they ever come up with like a three-ply on Marina? Or was it, you guys you recall? Know,
they thought about it. It's just that every time they tried to test it, people's minds literally were blown apart.
Couldn't
people
handle,
went insane.
Like,
they just didn't know what to do with that much ply on toilet paper.
Two-ply sounds, and again, if you're not on Patreon, you have no idea what we're talking about, but still.
You should probably want to check that out, though.
Yeah.
Do we know there's three-ply today?
I mean, maybe I don't even think Biff from the Country Club could handle that kind
sorry,
of stuff.
Sorry, I feel like I digress. Sorry, this is, is that even the proper use of the phrase, I digress? No, I have no questions to answer your question.
Thank you.
It all sounds
it's
amazing.
All we were looking for, Roger.
My mind is being blown by some of the Star Wars revelations and that, because you think you know a bad guy, and you don't. But
so much more.
Yeah.
Always
I'll let
so
you guys
much.
Continue with your show.
All right, everyone, take a deep breath. Get ready for what's about to be an epic episode of the Who Would Win show. Ray, Let's do this. Hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for Venom, it's just his natural offense. Venom is a larger figure than Darth Vader, and he hits a heck of a lot harder. I know David Prowse is a big man, but I believe Venom stands, what, over 7 feet tall in his full Venom form? And he can change his size as he needs to get even bigger if he needs to. What all of this means is that he's an alien with a great raw hitting power potential. That means that when he hits you, it hurts real, real bad. There's a character known as the Juggernaut. I think a lot of us are familiar with the unstoppable force. Once he gets moving, he cannot be stopped. Well, Venom punched Juggernaut down through multiple floors of a building. Juggernaut was standing there. Venom just gave him a straight up punch to the top and sent him flying down multiple floors to continue the fight right there. If you can knock Juggernaut anywhere in any direction, you're already battling a magic of its own power, right? He easily smashes his way through brick walls. He easily smashes his way through metal doors. If I recall, Darth Vader sometimes has trouble with metal doors that get in his way and he can do nothing to stop them. I believe that was a plot point at one point. Venom uses his size because he is bigger than pretty much anybody he faces. So often what he likes to do is throw himself at his opponent and just use his power, his raw size potential, and just pop into him and then send him flying. He's done that to Spider-Man many, many, many times. This is a guy who could basically pick up a car or a truck or heck, a tank, an armored car, who knows, and just tear it to pieces. He can just rip the thing in half with his two hands. If you can rip an armored car in half, you can rip Darth Vader in half as well, all right? In fact, Venom once hit a guy so hard that he flew into a van and got stuck in it. Like he just stuck him in the van, bedded inside of it. That's ridiculous. This is a guy in Venom who found a kaiju monster, a giant kaiju type monster, punched it from the inside of its own mouth and blew out its head. He killed it from the inside of his own mouth. That ought to be illegal. And what should be important to this battle, Venom has faced cyborgs before in battle. At one point, he ripped one in half, surprise. Another one, he punched its head until it was just tiny little bits and memory chips everywhere. Done. You're defeating cyborgs already. What's one more? Heck, Venom is also ridiculously strong, like physically. He picked up a massive water tower in New York City, which weighs in the 10s and 20s, 40, I don't even know, but many tons. Picking up Darth Vader is not that hard to do when comparing, right? He hulked his way out of an allegedly Omega-level mutant known as Iceman, who he hit him with his, like, freeze ray, and all he did was flex his muscles, Venom did, and he shattered this freeze attack. I thought Iceman was Omega-level. I guess not. And of course, if Venom's going to fight a dinosaur, you're going to hear about it from me. Well, he in fact picked up a giant rock, threw it at a dinosaur, and squished it against a wall like it was a cockroach. Unbelievable. Heck, remember Juggernaut from before, the unstoppable force? Venom grabbed him and threw him onto the third floor of a building. Not like the third floor was the roof, through the wall of the third floor into the building. And finally, he can restrain powerful characters. He doesn't always have to punch and subdue them. He can just hold them and restrain them with Spider-Man-like abilities. He's done that to Spider-Man. He's done that to Miles Morales. He's done that to the ridiculously strong Darkhawk. At the end of the day, if he can restrain a character like Darkhawk, I have to believe he can restrain a character like Darth Vader for 2 minutes. Stop it. And that's my point number one.
I'm sorry. What character did he restrain physically?
The impressively strong Darkhawk. What are you talking about?
Hey, not judging. Hold on. It's been a long day. I've been doing homework with the kids all day, so I'm centered. Okay, here we go. All right, look, I'm a huge fan of Venom, and Venom's got some great accomplishments against some very powerful opponents, no doubt. But let me kind of address some of what Ray was saying. Now, first of all, you know, doing anything against Juggernaut is really, really impressive. But a lot of times, Venom, whenever he has to go against Juggernaut or another big, huge, lumbering character, that character's standing still and not actually fighting at the moment. So Venom's like, cool, you're standing still, you're, you know, whatever, you're not moving. Boom, I'll nail you now. Pushing the Juggernaut through, you know, floors of a building, whatever, that's cool. but it didn't stop the Juggernaut. It didn't knock him out. It didn't really do much. Juggernaut's like, okay, cool, that happened. I'm going to keep on going. In terms of opponents who aren't great combatants, again, who are just these powerhouses, you know, when I think about Venom's history, he's actually got a great history of wins versus losses against those types of characters. The problem is when you start putting Venom up against someone who can deal with his powers, his power set, and who is not a lumbering type of giant kind of powerhouse, but is instead someone who is insanely great at fighting, someone who's great at battle, this is where Venom has a lot of issues. Too bad that's exactly who he's fighting today in Darth Vader. Speaking of which, let me get to my point number one, and all of this is going to become really clear. For my point number one, let's talk about Darth Vader's use of the Force, shall we? So as the Chosen One, Darth Vader was born with this insanely powerful connection to the Force, stronger evidently than any known Force user ever in history in terms of what he was born with. And despite the injuries he got on Mustafar, Vader still became one of the strongest Sith Lords in history, one of the most powerful Force users of all time. Fun fact, the pain and isolation of his situation let Vader more easily tap into his dark side and become even more powerful, which is what happened to me as a kid when I didn't get invited to the popular kids' parties. I just tapped into that darkness and became this insane powerful being known as James Gavsey. Anyway, after Darth Vader's cybernetic reconstruction, Vader's connection to the Force got even stronger considerably. Remember, his strength got to the point where Emperor Palpatine labeled his Force capabilities as, and I quote, unparalleled. So what can he do? Well, Vader's a master of telekinesis, that Force-used telekinesis, which he used either as offense or defense. Obviously, he can lift humans, other huge beings with ease. His most impressive feats, however, were really cool. He lifted and crushed an AT-AT, that four-legged walker tank vehicle we saw at the beginning of The Empire Strikes Back. Remember that? He lifted that up in the air and then crushed it while he held it midair, something that weighs well over 2,000 tons. That's crazy. He also caught and tore apart a massive spaceship just as about to depart the atmosphere. Just think about that one for a second. A massive spaceship that's already moving forward and up in the sky at high speed, and Vader just caught it midair and stopped it from moving completely. And that doesn't include when he did the same thing in the Kenobi series that caused that massive ship to come crashing back to the ground when he caught it midair using the Force. And again, we're referencing, you know, the comic book stuff as well. That's canon to the Darth Vader character. Now, Vader's also a really well-known user of that Force choke. We've seen him do that a million times in the films. We love that Force choke. Cool fact, he can do the Force choke from many kilometers away. He just has to have an idea of where his target is in reference to where he is. He doesn't have to see him, and he can use the Force to apply that Force choke, you know, again, from spaceship to spaceship, thousands of kilometers away. Really insane. On top of that, he can create Force barriers. That's a kind of a telekinetic barrier or Force field around himself. He can do this to put it around someone else who wants to protect him. He can also do this to encapsulate his enemies in a Force barrier as well. And this Force barrier or Force field, it's insanely powerful. He used it before very effectively, completely capture opponents, hold them there indefinitely. So doing so for more than 2 minutes to get a who would win style victory is not going to be a problem for Darth Vader. He's got that Force push where he can move insanely huge objects, push down buildings, push beings across territory, whatever he's got to do. He's got it. Force deflection. This is where he can deflect energy-based attacks, even, you know, some stuff with lightsabers. We saw him do this in Empire Strikes Back when Han Solo is shooting his blaster and then, you know, Darth Vader kind of palms, strikes that thing away. Really cool stuff. He's got a mind probe Force power as well, where he uses the Force to perform these powerful mind kind of probes, and he sifts through the thoughts of these beings he's doing it to, which is what he did to sense the existence of Luke Skywalker's sister, Princess Leia, of course. This is someone who can sift through minds, figure out cool information. He's got mind control. This is a dark side variation of the Jedi mind trick. I love this. It's really invasive. It's traumatizing. And it's allowed complete control of the subject. He's used this, again, in his canon to make someone completely stand down, to make someone insanely terrified, even made someone want to commit suicide. Not a cool thing. I'm just saying he's powerful and he can do this. And he's done this to Jedis as well. Very powerful mindsets. He's got the Force sense where he can tell, you know, someone's emotions. He can tell what's going on around him. It's almost a type of precognition that allows him to understand what's about to happen so he can prepare for it immediately. And this is my favorite one. He's got Force Rage. This is where he goes Super Saiyan and he uses Force Rage to channel his anger. And this increases his speed, his strength, his durability, his reaction speed, his ferocity. This also helps him get past some of the limitation placed on him by his armor. In a so-called calm state, Vader can lift about 3 tons. He's already really durable. With the Force Rage, all of this gets amplified exponentially. There's so much great stuff about Darth Vader, but we'll get to that because all of that is my point number one.
Interesting. Look, I'm a huge fan of Darth Vader, obviously. Like, which evil person among us isn't a huge fan of Darth Vader? But I got some holes in your argument, James. Based on the things you described with his force power, he seems like he's really tough against inanimate objects that are not fighting back against him. Spaceship, great. AT-AT, great. Rocks on the ground, great. People, don't see that as much, because Vader, at the end of the day, is a bully. You think to yourself, in the movies, who's he really even beaten, right? He beat Luke once when Luke was terrified of him, and then came back and Luke kicked the crap out of him. He lost to Obi-Wan Kenobi. Who's he beaten? Random, you know, officers on the Death Star who are also terrified of him? He's beaten unnamed guys in helmets in the hallway of a ship? Who has Darth Vader actually beaten one-on-one? I'd love to hear those answers, because the answer, I don't think it's a very big list. I think he's all chirp and not a lot of bark at the end of the day. Also, James, Venom can shoot bullets out of himself. Bullets made of himself out of himself. And as you've said before, bullets firing in the Star Wars universe are a lot tougher and harder to deal with than laser fire in the Star Wars universe. And the force barrier. It's not really that great a force barrier. Luke chopped his hand off. Obviously, he didn't have a force barrier then. When he fought Obi-Wan in the third Star Wars movie, he got hacked to pieces and left in lava. Where's the force barrier, James? Didn't see it there either. And one thing to keep in mind, Venom has massive jumping and wall-crawling abilities, so Venom will always have the high ground, Annie.
Ooh, I love it. I love those references. All right, I'm smiling ear to ear. Let's go to the judge. Roger Craigsmith, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
This one's tough. This one's tough, even like on the very like opening arguments here. There's a lot to bring up. I think right now the dividing line is between the sort of like physical sort of world and this force world and the like mental world, if you will, both of which bring up like interesting arguments. You know, like Ray, you were going real big on like size and juggernaut punches and restraint powers. Venom, though, requires a bit of a host in order to have these things kind of take place. James, you're doing a great job. You're talking about, like, from birth, it's like he was born with it. We've got range attacks. We've got the force choke. You've got the force field, the barrier, the mind sifting, the mind control, which can be done from a distance. It's anybody's game at this point, to be totally honest. Your rebuttals both were weak, in my opinion, on each side, so none of you guys scored any points. Yeah. No, you're not. It's because right off the bat, I think like you've made straight, like strong arguments straight off the bat, but your rebuttals, it just didn't, nobody sold me on anything. So it's anybody's game at this point.
You're saying we're like the single ply.
Yeah, without a doubt. Like, yeah, the Patreon users will know exactly what we're talking about. But yeah, it's like your rebuttals were like maybe like public school bathroom, single ply, crappy airport, single ply, like on a huge roll.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, that said, your opening arguments were bordering good quality single ply, maybe like a big box store club style.
Couldn't
single
disagree
ply.
More. My counters might have been a little soft, but they were definitely strong as well.
As soft as the sea breeze, yet strong as the sea.
I mean, this all makes complete sense. All right, we will try harder, Roger Craig Smith.
Nobody.
Ray, we can bring it even more. Let's see if we can do that. We'll be back for point number two.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we're back. All right, Ray, let's see what you got. Hit us with your point number two.
Point number two, we're going to talk about some of the defensive capabilities. I've talked about the offense and about how he can just overwhelm Darth Vader. We haven't even gotten to dirty tricks yet. But in my second point, I want to categorize the defense, because Venom is a character that can catch bullets inside of his body. You try to shoot things at Venom, he absorbs them. That is massively huge. What's to stop him from just absorbing the lightsaber if he does try to use it against him? We'll find out. In fact, Venom is so quick, he can dodge sonic attacks. Sorry, Roger. I know that was hit home for you,
too
unfortunately.
Close. Too soon.
Yeah, too close to home.
Wow.
Look, Venom, his mind also works extremely well. He's so fast that Spider-Man, an incredibly quick and agile character, is slow to Venom's senses, right? Because his senses are so enhanced across the board, Spider-Man's like walking around in quicksand around him. It's great. He can also, Venom can, change his body as a defensive maneuver. We'll get into more of the shape-shifting a little bit later, but just understand that if you try to hit him in an area, he's a little bit like the T-1000. Remember? He just like takes the shot and then immediately reforms his body, so now he's grabbing your wrist, right? That's the kind of thing that Venom can do. He can morph and shape his body as a defensive maneuver like he wants to. He's also extremely durable. If you do happen to get the hits off, he shrugs them off without too much trouble. This is a guy who's taken rockets to the face. He's taken high-caliber munitions from very powerful guns. He's survived being in many, many different explosions, especially like oil-based fire explosions. I know fire is kind of seen as a weakness for him, but I've seen Venom survive and get away from easily too many fire-based explosions for me to think that's a thing that really bothers him anymore. He's also, as I mentioned before, bulletproof, because bullets can just get absorbed by him and then shot back out later, as I said before. A small thing probably doesn't matter here. He's also immune to all poisons, because there's no, like, organs there, right? There's a host inside. Eddie Brock is inside, but none of that really matters. If Eddie Brock is killed, if Eddie Brock is knocked unconscious, if Eddie Brock is hurt in any way, not only can Venom help with regeneration of Eddie Brock, he can work perfectly fine without him. And it doesn't even matter. The body, he can turn himself completely flat if he needs to. I don't know how that works. It's comic book logic. Also, lasers. I know lasers are probably going to come into it, right? Because of the lightsabers, because of the blasters, all that good stuff. Well, a laser, that's a gem cutter, right? We're familiar with this. The kind that James Bond almost took to the no-no danger zone. Well, a laser that cuts rocks tried to shoot at Venom. And you know what? Couldn't penetrate through his outer hide. If you're able to take out those lasers without it even hurting you, I just don't know what Darth Vader's possibly going to do. He got hit by a guy, very impressive villain called the Shocker. James, you know all about this guy. And not only did he get hit full bore with the Shocker's special vibration attack, which kind of emulates the force power a little bit, Venom started laughing and said, "You're tickling me. Stop it." This is ridiculous. Another regeneration. I mentioned that he could regenerate Eddie Brock inside him. He can regenerate himself as well. He got cut in half by somebody once, right? And healed it almost immediately. Just put those two forms back together. It's, again, like trying to fight the T-1000. What do you do? You cut the T-1000 in half, he just reforms again and comes back after you with spiky bits. That's the whole deal. He can regenerate also from next to nothing. I believe there was just a piece of his tongue that got left over, and that pretty quickly regenerated back up to a whole form again. You really got to take him completely out of the picture and evaporate him in order to make this happen. And that's basically it. You got the regeneration, you've got the ability to shapeshift in his own defense, and you've got a super powerful outer shell as well. I don't know what Darth Vader's going to possibly do to even hurt him. And that's my point number two.
Wow. All right, here we go. Time to push back in a big way. Okay, I love how you said Venom can absorb bullets and what have you. You know what Darth Vader's really known for? Not shooting bullets. He's not someone who's like,
can't afford them.
He's not shooting. They are expensive. He's not shooting bullets. He's not taking, you know, other stuff and you know, whatever ballistic stuff, whatever, and shooting it. That's just not what he does. It's kind of interesting. On top of that, Venom's really durable, but he does have some big kind of kryptonite-style weaknesses, which I'll go into later on. In terms of explosions not affecting Venom, here's the deal. It's been explained before in comic books. You know, the explosions produce a lot of heat, but over a very short period of time, Venom's weakness to heat is one that has to be prolonged exposure to heat, and that's what really screws him up, hurts him, can kill him, and what have you. On top of that, Venom, is Venom still Venom if the host is separated from the symbiote? And the answer is no. That at that point, it's just a symbiote. The host, the Venom, is Eddie Brock and the symbiote working together in unison beautifully. Separate Eddie Brock from that, and Venom's no more. Just a fun little thing I want to put out there. And full regeneration on behalf of Venom, that's not as quick as, say, like a Deadpool or Wolverine. It still takes a while. Full regeneration, I'm just kind of making this very clear, it's going to take a lot more than the 2 minutes necessary to kind of make sure he doesn't lose by default, you know, if Darth Vader is able to do that. Now, with all that being said, let me get to my point number two. And for my point number two, let's talk about Darth Vader's tech, his weapons, and overall tactical genius. Look, he's a cyborg now, and Vader has much, as a cyborg, he's really way physically stronger than most other beings that he's going to be facing. He's strong enough that he can hold the pressure of several tons up in the air and effortlessly lift the weight. You know, it's not a problem, you know, holding up a grown man, crushing bones with his fist, something he can do as well. It's estimated that his suit gives him superhuman strength and range of being able to lift about 3 tons. Again, that's before that force rage comes in and amps him up. You know, fun fact, his strength is shown to rival or even surpass that of Chewbacca because he overpowered Chewbacca in their fight in the comic book series, which again is official canon to Darth Vader and, you know, the Star Wars universe. The armor Vader wears is known as Durasteel armor. That means his suit. It's the same material used for the armor of the assault droids made by the Starforge. I think that was what you saw, those crazy, powerful droids in the second season of The Mandalorian. And his armor is designed to withstand blaster fire, somewhat resistant to lightsaber strikes, somewhat resistant. All I'm trying to say is you're not going to hit him, take him down very easily. It's going to take a lot to take him out. There's a lot more, of course. With his cybernetic legs, Vader can leap great distances, also jump super high, demonstrating the comic book series and some of the cool CGI series like Rebels and what have you. In terms of mental strength, Darth Vader has what is called an indomitable will. Now, how can I say that, you might ask? Well, here's the deal. Darth Vader did the impossible and resisted the entirety of the Force itself just using his willpower alone. Let me explain. After the events of Revenge of the Sith, the Force itself attempts to make Vader change his ways and move away from the dark side by sending an insanely powerful vision to him. Now, evidently, the Force felt the balance of light and the dark side was really too far tilted. To the dark side. So the Force decided to take action. This is a real thing in the form of that powerful vision. And this vision urged Darth Vader to seek redemption for all he'd already done. It urged him to kill Palpatine and to beg forgiveness from Obi-Wan Kenobi. It was powerful. It felt really real to Vader. He felt it was reality. But Vader did the impossible and rejected the Force's vision and went even deeper into the dark side again. His willpower was strong enough to resist the Force itself. This is going to become a big thing in my point number three. But there's a whole lot more, of course. Vader is a master engineer. Now, even for his fall to the dark side, Vader was a genius when it came to engineering. During battles where his cybernetic suit and armor were damaged, he used the Force to fix all of his whatever repairs he needed while he was fighting. Again, he used the Force as hands, reconstructed his armor, fixed it, did whatever, while he was fighting. It's almost like a regeneration device or healing kind of factor for his armor and his cybernetics. On top of that, he's a genius level intellect, is a master tactician. Remember, this is someone who is a highly skilled tactician with decades of fighting experience as a Jedi, as a soldier and a general, before he even became Darth Vader when he was Anakin Skywalker. Then he went on for another couple of decades doing the same thing on a much wider and bigger scale. As great as Venom is, he doesn't have anywhere the fighting experience and fighting ability of Darth Vader. And I'm talking about when you put Eddie Brock into the mix. And because of all that, I'm going to say the obvious. Darth Vader is a master fighter. He's a master hand-to-hand combatant. I'm talking both armed and unarmed. Now, speaking of fighting, let's talk about his lightsaber skills. These are insane. To say that Vader was extremely skilled in lightsaber combat would be a huge understatement. We're all thinking that. Look, after he became a cyborg, you know, his lightsaber skills improved to the point of mastery where he included all of the 7 forms of lightsaber battle into one form he developed himself and then kind of then further personalized it because of what he could do with his cybernetics. It's crazy. So he mastered 7 forms of lightsaber fighting skill to create his own unique to him that emphasize his cybernetics, his force power, his speed, and all the strength and everything he brings to the battle. This is also really cool because during this time, he used the force to regain some of that Anakin Skywalker agility he had before, and he just became way more brutally effective. Look, he became the greatest Jedi killer in galactic history, overcame General Grievous's record and everyone else before him. He was that kind of a badass. Now, about the lightsaber itself, this is something that's really cool. Darth Vader always made changes to this lightsaber. So he made a couple of really cool improvements where he can actually increase and decrease the length of the actual lightsaber itself. The reason for that is because depending on what battle he had, if he had someone who got in close on him and it was close range, he want a shorter thing so it wouldn't be so cumbersome. If it was a longer range battle and people are shooting from afar or whatever, had the ranged attack, he'd use a longer lightsaber. He uses a shield, deflection device, what have you. Now, the other really cool thing about this, he modified the lightsaber to make it insanely hot. Cool facts, a lightsaber is actually a plasma coil, yes, I read up on this, that shoots out from the hilt of the lightsaber. Now, the plasma coil gets super heated, and scientists said, okay, for it to have that state and do what it does, it has to reach a temperature, this is crazy, of around 1 million degrees Celsius, which is several times hotter than the surface of the sun. The reason why this thing doesn't burn everything around it is because the heat stays within the plasma coil itself, meaning the only thing that's burned is what it touches. This is crazy. It is several times hotter than the surface of the sun, 1 million degrees Celsius. This is, I'd say, a pretty good heat-based attack that's really going to do damage to Venom. By the way, he's a master of using that weapon that produces that. All of that is my point number two.
So much I got to talk about here in a limited amount of time. You say Vader's a genius with the creating things. He couldn't even recognize his own droids in the original trilogy. He built them. They're on his ship. He has the Force. Not once did he go, oh, R2-D2, I made him. Never comes up at all. What, did he just forget? Or is he not as smart as you probably think he is? And you say he's a master fighter. I think Vader's an excellent Jedi or a Sith fighter, whatever it is, lightsaber guy. But he's never faced anything like Venom before. Venom is going to be pulling out powers and abilities and things that Vader can't even conceive of. But that's not true in reverse, is it? Because Venom's fought characters like Cyclops. He's fought people with telekinetic powers before. He knows once the thing gets started, he's going to know basically what Vader can do. And Vader will have no clue what Venom can do because that just isn't possible in his own world. And let's face it, great fighter, except when he fights his own apprentice, Galen Merrick, a.k.a. Starkiller. Yes, it was a video game, but it has been officially brought into canon that he lost to his... Yeah, it was in Legends. It was in the video games. It is also canonically accepted that Galen Merrick defeated him in battle. You lose to your... That's like Eddie Brock defeating the symbiote by himself in a punching contest. Doesn't work. And absorbing bullets. You're right. Vader doesn't shoot bullets, but he throws crates and other things, doesn't he? And that's not going to mean anything. And finally, you say Venom doesn't exist without the host, Eddie Brock? What happens when he leaves Eddie and goes into somebody else? What happens when he takes Spider-Man as his host? Or Deadpool or whatever? Is he just suddenly no longer Venom? Of course he is. So Eddie Brock can get damaged all to Kingdom Come, Venom is still Venom, and he will keep fighting.
I got to correct you on one thing, and this is because the fans of the show will call this out. I love the whole Starkiller series. Those games were fantastic. Unfortunately, they are no longer canonical. Nothing from Legends is officially canonical anymore, which, by the way, I think is a huge mistake, but that's no longer part of the official history of Darth Vader. I wish there was a multiverse thing going on with Star Wars, which would make things so much more clear. Anyway, we are now at the turning point. Roger, you've had a moment to ponder two points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
As ever, you guys are always, like, way, way, way too good at, like, presenting, like, incredible arguments and two-ply rebuttals this time. Gentlemen,
wow.
Both, yes. Well done. They were all not soft. They were strong as the sea. This one's tough, because again, like, my notes are just like ridiculous with what you guys were only two arguments in. The catch bullets thing and shooting them back out later from Venom to me is like a really impressive kind of ooh yeah, that would be interesting because it's implying a lot of like formidable kind of sort of capabilities as far as like, you know, yeah, anything you throw at me, I can absorb it. I'll throw it right back at you, kind of a thing. And I really enjoyed the idea that like Venom implied, you know, oh, stop it. You're tickling me. I couldn't recall a time when Darth Vader mentioned anything about feeling like what was happening to him was resembling a tickling of any sort. So the regeneration and the shape-shifting, really, really cool. James did a phenomenal job of sort of like bringing that into your own sort of argument, not that it was a rebuttal, but your argument was talking about his ability to sort of regenerate his armor and his armor rebuilding, which is kind of like having the ability to be regenerative. My God, the indomitable will, resisting the force itself to go deeper into the darkness. That's a pretty powerful kind of capability. As I go to like my notes on like the rebuttals, this prolonged heat weakness thing, right? When it comes to Venom, the fact that I still think he needs a host, that's been the argument that's kind of been brought up here. Ray, I want to sit there and say that you brought up like, you know, when he bops around to other people, like he doesn't require Eddie Brock. Then my thought is, then why Eddie Brock at all? Why not just hop from person to person? If it really and truly isn't about needing the host, then
he likes Eddie Brock at the end of the day. He's a fan.
Yeah, but then he's kind of reliant on him. Therefore, and so I don't know, Ray.
One might almost call their relationship symbiotic.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're doing there. I see what you're doing. Yes, Venom's fought a lot of different types of creatures, and in the sort of lore and the canon of like Star Wars, maybe Darth has only seen a certain type of opponent. But I gotta say, Ray, I think you gotta sell me more on why this host thing is not a crutch if we're going into it. So I think that's where I'm kind of leaning more towards Darth right now. And Ray, I think you got to pick it up if you want to pull this out. That's where I'm at. If we're gonna try to imply who's got some work to do, it's Ray as of this point right now.
Wow. I'm shocked by that statement.
I know. Sorry.
I am way ahead on my card, so I can't believe what you're saying right now.
You know what? Listen, I love everything you're saying because I'm right. But the thing is, Ray's been backed into a corner before at the end of point number two.
We know
this. Oh, yeah. And then he just comes out swinging like a maniac and connecting for a grand slam home run. Let's see what's about to happen. Stay tuned because we'll be right back for point number three.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And we're back. Ray, let's see what you got. It's up to you. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number... Yes.
Folding metal chair. That's what you need.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
It needs to be a folding metal chair equivalent.
Wow.
And I think
you can
do it.
So it's going to be a concerto. Two chairs on either side of the head at the same time. Point number three for Venom. Let's talk about the powers beyond what I've talked about and some of his big wins as well. The thing about Eddie Brock being the host. Yes. But Venom completely encapsulates the host. Eddie Brock can be knocked unconscious inside and it doesn't really change anything. Not to mention the fact that if Eddie Brock does happen to take any damage, Venom has been seen regenerating him anyway. So it's not like Eddie Brock is going to hold him back in any way in this confrontation. If anything, it's like two minds working at once. They have two different ideas on how to beat him. That I'd say two heads together working might be better than one. Definitely in a combat scenario against an unfamiliar opponent. But let's just talk about the power set, because Venom starts with Spider-Man's power set, which means he has enhanced, strength, durability, and speed, as we already know, but he also has kind of enhanced senses as well. Remember, this is the guy who got the jump and ambushed Wolverine. Wolverine, who has the best enhanced senses ever, can smell you coming a mile away. Somehow Venom was able to get a jump on him. That's because Venom is a master of stealth. Darth Vader can get hit from surprise attacks. I think that we've seen it before in many of the different things. He's great with the Force, don't get me wrong, but Venom is so stealthy and so good. If you could sneak up on Wolverine, you could sneak up on Darth Vader as well. But he's also got the web shooting. He's got the wall climbing ability. Darth Vader is kind of stuck on ground, isn't he? He doesn't move particularly fast. He does. I mean, I know James says he jumps really high. I haven't seen a ton of evidence in this, at least in the media that I've watched. That may be young Darth Vader, but we're talking about height of his powers here. He just sort of stand there and fight and move slow. Venom is jumping and spinning and bobbing around, and he's shooting webs. He's going to shoot a web right at the handle of that lightsaber. He's going to knock it right out of his hand, as far as I know. He's going to shoot him down so his legs are stuck to the ground. And remember, those webs are extremely difficult to pull yourself out of. Very strong characters have been stuck in them before, like Miles Morales, like Spider-Man. You know, that's the kind of deal that we're talking about right here. Also, you might notice Venom's always fighting Spider-Man, and he's always winning. That's because Spider-Man has said, you do everything that I do except do it bigger, stronger, and faster. And let's face it, Spider-Man's much stronger than Vader. Spider-Man is much faster than Vader. And Venom bodies him over and over and over again. And talking about other powers, he's got those tentacles. You talk about the shape-shifting before, sure, we'll get more into that in a sec. But he creates these crazy tentacles that are insanely strong. He can basically do, again, like the T-1000, make them very sharp, and then pierce through people's bodies with them. They could also go underground and then pop up where you're not looking. Vader's not ready for an attack like that. A guy who could shoot tendrils into the ground and then pop up and skewer him from any angle that he wants to. Also, they have crushing power. He could envelop people with his body and these tentacles as well and just choke the living life out of them. He's choked out Spider-Man before. He's impaled the Wolverine before. Also, it's great against that big Force push, you know, where they shove you really, really far. He could shoot those tendrils down into the ground and steady and anchor himself and not go flying like a lot of other characters would not have the options to. And the shape-shifting, I mentioned he could flatten himself so he can become paper thin if he needs to. He can get very, very big. He can get very, very sharp when he needs to. Again, he can form wings and he can glide around if he needs to. So he's effectively a flyer if he gets himself up into the air. Also, he can shapeshift and look like other people. This is a guy who can shapeshift to look like somebody that he is not. And Vader, again, I don't know that that's the thing that he's used to having to deal with. I don't remember Vader fighting against Tom Cruise in a Mission Impossible movie, so I don't know how he's going to deal with a hidden identity type of a deal. And let's talk about some wins, because he has some big wins. Spider-Man, he's just beaten over and over and over again. He's beaten the Sandman, who can change his molecular structure. He's beaten Electro, a big-time lightning user. You know, with the lightning attack and the lightning hands that these Sith Lords like to use? Well, he's dealt with Electro, no problem. And he's beaten Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider, with the penance stare, he reversed it back onto Ghost Rider again. That is a cosmic-level type of character. That's way beyond Darth Vader. And Venom's beaten him. And also, your little Force choke power. That's fine. Venom doesn't need to breathe. Sorry. You're not going to be able to force. He's going to try to Force choke Venom, and it's not going to work. And that's going to give Venom all that he needs. Final thing to mention, internal attacks. Vader already has trouble breathing, doesn't he? He needs an apparatus to keep going. So what happens when Venom gets into his lungs? What happens when Venom pierces through Vader and then expands into his insidey places and crushes his lungs from the inside? Vader already has trouble breathing, and after Venom's through with him, he won't be breathing at all. And that is my point number three.
Wow. Okay. I love the passion that you're coming to this with, Ray, but there's some stuff that's just absolutely
I love
correct.
The truth I'm coming with. So that's fantastic. We like passion too.
The truth is an interesting word. All right. Here's the deal. You know, physically speaking, Eddie Brock is still vulnerable even when he's in the symbiote. That's the thing. Eddie's both physically vulnerable and mentally vulnerable as well. And that'll play a factor in all of this. Wolverine's got great senses, no doubt, but Vader has the Force to warn him of upcoming danger. You know, whether he feels a disturbance in the Force or he can tell that there's something happening and the Force is just like, hey, I'm alerting you to something that's coming over here. It's not the same thing as Wolverine's using his senses, but he can tell. He's got that sixth sense. The Force will warn him of like crazy danger. In comic books, of course, Vader is extremely agile We see it sometimes in the CGI series, especially Rebels. Not so much in the live action, but he absolutely is agile. Venom also has quite a few losses to a lot of people, including Spider-Man. But he's also got a loss. This is interesting, to the Punisher. And the Punisher got a loss because, you know, of a good plan, but also of tactics and what have you. And if the Punisher has a win over Venom, then, okay, it kind of negates a lot of other stuff. If Venom tries to envelop Vader with the tendrils and whatever he's got, Vader's got the Force. He's got that Force field. He can just push it off. That's not going to be a thing that happens to him whatsoever. If Venom flies, that's a horrible idea. We already saw what Vader does with, you know, spaceships and large space cruisers, and he captures them midair and then crushes things. Horrible idea for Venom. And that's about it. Sorry, I had this one more. Oh, and the last thing, too, if Vader's breathing apparatus is somehow crushed, guess what he does? He uses the Force to keep himself alive for quite some time. That's something he's had to encounter before, rarely, but he knows what to do with it. That's not going to be an issue whatsoever. All right, so now I'm going to get to my point number three. And my point number three, let's talk about Venom's weaknesses and Vader's many ways of taking out Venom. Now, again, Venom's powerful. There's no doubt about it. But just like many other powerful characters, he's got some really big glaring weaknesses. And these are weaknesses that play right into Darth Vader's strengths. Here's one. The Venom symbiote depends on the host for levels of power. This is a thing. For example, if Eddie Brock is angry, Venom gets a boost of power. If, however, Eddie Brock is scared or afraid, then Venom becomes weaker. What happens when Vader uses his dark mind force abilities to invoke fear and terror in the mind of Eddie Brock? Look, if he could do it to eight Jedi at a time, he can definitely invoke fear in Eddie Brock. Overuse of webbing. This is a thing that Vader has to watch out for. See, unlike Spider-Man, whose webbing is part of his tech and separate from him, Venom's webbing is just parts of his body being shot out and acting like Spider-Man's webs. If Venom uses too much webbing, it actually pulls from his own body mass, which weakens the symbiote completely. And in an all-out battle with Vader, Venom's going to be taxing his body to the limit and become weaker the longer this battle goes on. Fun fact, Venom's main weakness is fire. We said that before, and specifically high levels of heat, which means Vader's lightsaber can easily hurt and destroy Venom. In fact, Peter Parker has often used fire and prolonged heat to hurt and then herd Venom exactly where he wants him. With the help of the fire and heat, Peter trapped the symbiote in a durable container, which leads me to Venom's other weakness. Venom can be contained. One of the really cool ways to defeat Venom, which Susan Storm has done with her force fields, kind of similar to the force field that Vader can make, which Spider-Man has done with the strong containers, which even the Green Goblin has done, is to trap him in a containment field or durable container itself. And as I've already mentioned, Vader's often used that force to create this cool force field around both himself and his enemies in order to contain or trap them. And as powerful as Venom is, Darth Vader's use of the Force is almost beyond compare. Again, if he can lift a 2,000-ton AT-AT and then crush it in while holding it up in midair, he's gotten way more power. He's got way more power than he needs to contain Venom in a Force bubble or a Force field container for as long as he wants. But Venom has one more weakness that Vader's going to be able to use to his advantage. Now, let's say the unthinkable happens and Venom decides to bond with Vader. Well, that would be a problem for Venom. Why? Because people with very strong wills can actually force the Venom symbiote to disconnect from them, something that is super painful for the symbiote, which leaves the symbiote very, very weakened. This is the thing. For example, the original host of the mainstream Marvel comics was Peter Parker and Venom, and Peter Parker managed to reject the symbiote due to his strong will. Eddie Brock has done the same thing. A character named Anne Wang, she was calling herself She-Venom, Eddie Brock's ex-wife, who was briefly bonded with Venom, her will forced Venom to leave her as well. And if Peter Parker, Eddie Brock, and the very well-known ex-wife Eddie Brock and Wang can have strong enough willpower to disconnect from Venom, then Vader does as well. Remember, he used his willpower to reject what the Force was trying to make him feel and do based on that vision it projected him to. And in case you forget, Venom is facing off against Lord Vader, the badass who took out an army of well-armed rebels, great blasters, great weaponry with orders to kill him. Before he took him out, he used his mind force to strike fear into all of them and destroyed each and every one of them. It's the same Lord Vader in the canon Star Wars comic book series in the same Star Wars timeline, where he fought and bent a massive, or he took this massive character, I'm going to try to pronounce the name correctly, it's called the Summa Verminoth. That's that creature that you saw in the Solo movie, where Han Solo sees in space and with tentacles. This thing is 7.5 kilometers long, and Vader used his mind force powers to take control of it and said, hey, you're going to now be my horse. So I'm going to ride you like a huge kaiju, bigger than a kaiju, 7.5 kilometers long, and took him into battle under his complete control. This is the same Vader who got a win over Emperor Palpatine, even in a weakened and battered state, and he's got so many more wins as well. This is why Darth Vader wins. This is why Venom loses. That's my point number three.
I got a lot to say in a short amount of time. Look, you talk about Venom's weaknesses to fire. Venom's weaknesses just means that he's not as strong against it as he is literally everything else. I've seen Venom be on the subway in his human form, and he got doused with gasoline and set on fire. And then he just turns into Venom, and he annihilates the two people who did that to him. I saw a pyro-level fire manipulator burning the building around him, and then that guy himself was shocked because Venom just got mad and punked him. So fire, yes, he doesn't like it, but it's not like debilitating against him. And the Punisher loss. Look, Punisher is a guy who has severe prior knowledge and setup and had to put everything in place in order to do it. This is a random encounter, so don't even bring that up. How will Darth Vader even know that there is a host body inside of Venom? He's never met Venom before. There's no picturing of that person. There's no reason for him to believe there's a person inside of another person like a Russian doll. He wouldn't have no knowledge of Eddie Brock to even place an attack there. And have you ever seen Vader use a force field to contain people? James, you're just making stuff up. You're taking hypotheticals that we've never actually seen before and saying, oh yeah, he just does this all the time. No, he doesn't. We've seen Vader fight. It's much more pedestrian than what you're presenting today. The other thing is technopathy. I kind of saddlebag this a little bit, but Venom can interact with machinery. Guess what Darth Vader is made of a lot, right? Venom's interfaced with a headless cyborg before. He sent his symbiote through a telephone line and into a computer to fight Carnage in a digital video game world. He's done some crazy thing in the 90s is what I'm trying to say. And I do think he could overtake Darth Vader as host if he wanted to. Why? Darth Vader, you're right. Great willpower. Very, very strong mentally. But what did Darth Vader do? He gave in to the dark side in order to gain larger power. If Venom tries to take over him as host, which it would have to be a last ditch effort. Let's start there. But if the final shot he tried to do it, I think Vader would give in willingly and let Venom take over because of promises of power, the same reason he gave in to the dark side in the first place. Venom gets this win 10 ways to Sunday. Vader is great. It's just a bad matchup for him at the end of the day.
I love this battle. This was really cool. You know, Roger, I don't envy you whatsoever. You've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision, but before we get to what Roger has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week we choose one of our amazing members of the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today we have a special patron, and he is Chosen.
Ooh.
With a Z.
All right, Chosen. Listen, we've had this person on this segment before in terms of the opponent, but I just like seeing him in fights. Let's have Chosen go against that no good Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren, there's a problem, because Chosen is obviously a very, very powerful and special individual. This is somebody who obviously was the Chosen One at the end of the day, and not chosen like other people are with an S. He was chosen with a Z, and that's how you know a Z fighters, anybody? I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. He has a Dragon Ball Z level fighting ability and is the Chosen One of that world. Now, I love Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren's a great character, but much like today, the Sith doesn't always win, does he? He's going to pull out his force push, because that's what they do. They start with the force powers, right? And he's going to try to throw boxes at him, and he's just going to slap them aside, Chosen is. And then he's going to try the big force push, and Chosen's just going to hulk up, if you will, and shoot out his power, and then he's going to be no problem from that little gust of wind. And that's when the lightsaber starts, and that's the problem. As soon as he goes to strike with the lightsaber, Chosen, as being the Chosen One, a little bit too fast. As we've seen in Dragon Ball Z battles before, he just moves super fast and then hits him before he can even swing the blade. Too fast, throat shot to the elbow, Kylo Ren goes down and gets out of town. Congratulations, Chosen. You proved it today.
You know, I had a feeling Chosen was going to win no matter who, because he's just so awesome. And again, Legion of Audience, our fan base, you know how much I can't stand that no good Kylo Ren. Anytime I get to see him get decimated, never mind by someone as powerful and as great as Chosen, I'm going to take it. Congratulations, Chosen. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Now back to the battle. Roger, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Darth Vader and Venom.
This is so deeply unfair to do to me. like each time I say this every single time, because you guys are so good at what you guys are doing with presenting arguments. Every single time that I think I've got this down, like, nope, there it is. Oh, dang it. One of you guys comes at me with like a rebuttal or just a really, really, really strong point. All of my notes are like a mess right now. I have tried to form this into something that I think that I can go to bed tonight with, because this is an extremely tough one, without a doubt. My gosh, the idea that the host is irrelevant with Venom, that you were saying that two heads are better than one, Ray. I kept thinking, oh, this is the Spidey sense versus the Force. Ray, you brought up speed, and Darth, yes, in my exposure to Darth Vader, he seems to be slow, right? The shooting a web to take out the lightsaber, right? I was like, yep, strong argument. That's a strong argument. It's like, boom, and now what? Where's your lightsaber, right? The shape-shifting to look like someone else, that, like these tactics that might really surprise Darth Vader. I was along for all of it. The breathing, the force choke wouldn't work. All of these things, you know, because Venom doesn't require breathing, right? Like all these things that you were bringing up, right? Strong, strong, strong. And then, of course, James, the idea of like invoking fear into Eddie Brock to weaken the host. Super strong point, because we've talked about so much reliance upon this host aspect of Venom, which was I just found so deeply problematic from the get-go. The ability to trap Venom within a force field, within a bubble. Venom can't bond with Darth. Darth would be far too crafty for that to happen. The whole, I loved the whole riding you like a kaiju kind of an element to this. It had me just going, my gosh, the force. We've got the prolonged heat exposure. I just was so hell-bent on thinking, yeah, there's just no way. This is Darth takes down Venom all day long. However, I think Ray did a phenomenal job in bringing up this one aspect that I did find problematic time and time again, which was the aspect of a more, by comparison, pedestrian form of fighting. And at the end of the day, the most problematic aspect of all of this is Darth's breathing apparatus. And yes, with the idea that he can use the force to keep himself alive long enough, don't know that is going to be enough. The biggest weakness that we have here is in that breathing apparatus for Darth Vader. So while I was leaning hardcore to Darth the entire time, in the end, I found the arguments for the way in which Venom would fight, the ways in which Venom would find a way around some of the things that would be problematic, like the plasma. My God, James, the science behind the plasma that you brought up, I just still don't think any of it would work over the long haul, since the heat needs to be done over a long time. Breathing apparatus over a long time, I think, would be the ultimate weakness. And I think this one has to go to Venom, as much as it kills me.
Wow.
To give it to Ray.
I got to tell you, first of all, congratulations on Ray Sicanus, because Ray, you brought it today. I am so proud of you.
This impressive.
This was a battle where like you leave it all on the field and you wish you would have won, but you're not upset because the other person did a great job too. Congratulations, Ray Sicanus. However, I do disagree with Roger Craig Smith's decision.
Shocking.
Because
Shocking.
How would Venom know that the breathing apparatus was even a thing?
Because he could hear it, James.
Yeah, but there's no previous.
He's choking 24/7.
You say, is that a helmet thing? And again, I've already said he can repair it on the fly while he's doing
it.
We
didn't repair it in the Death Star in the Return of the Jedi movie. He just said, take off my hat. I'm ready to go.
That's because the Force lightning was what took him out, not the fact he couldn't breathe. That's the whole thing. So, again,
I respect the decision. You stop breathing.
I respect the decision, but I completely disagree with it. With that being said, as usual, when you point out and play out a whole decision, Roger Craig Smith, with your logic, all I got to say is I would love to see this in live action. I've been saying forever, you want to save Marvel and Star Wars, put them together in the same universe somehow, make this happen. All I'm saying is I love your storytelling. You're brilliant. I may disagree, but man, do I respect your decision. Ray Sicanus, you got to win. Tell the Legion of Audience how you're feeling.
You want to talk about the best way to save all these universes like they need saving, but you want to know the best way to enhance them and make your Disney Plus brand better? by the Who Would Win show with myself and James, and let us do these battles. Heck, you can animate them. There's so many ways we could take this show. Disney Plus, you have our information. We've talked to you already before. And what's going on? Give us an answer. Let that answer be yes. Let's go save Disney together.
I think we're also missing out on a possible sponsorship here. I don't know if Marina toilet paper is still around.
That's true.
But I don't believe they are.
What we've done for their brand with just this episode alone.
Oh my gosh.
If they were to get on board with Disney, I mean, like you would have like, you know, brought to you by, I mean, they could provide the funding for the entire thing. Disney just attaches themselves to it. Marina, it's a win-win. It's a win-win for everybody.
I can already know the tagline. Are you tired of Ray Cicanus's verbal diarrhea? Then use Marina Double Ply.
It's safe. It's strong as the sea breeze.
Yeah, exactly. Soft, oh, I love soft it. Okay, I got to tell you, this is one of my favorite episodes we've ever done. Not surprised that Roger Craig Smith is the judge. Again, I disagree with the decision, but I loved how you came to the decision with your logic. So all is good. With that being said, Roger Craig Smith, thank you so much for blessing us with your presence one more time as a judge for the show, showing everyone how it's done, by the way. Until the next time, tell our audience, the Legion of Audience, tell our fan base where they can find you online.
Ugh, sadly, still on X, the formerly known as Twitter, I know, which is just turning into an absolute cesspool, and Instagram, and I've got projects I'm working. I just wrapped up on something initially for a time being on something that hopefully might see the light. It might be released later this year. We'll see, but I've got great things that I'm honored to be a part of and still incredibly fun projects, and I hate the fact that I can never promote until things come out. So it's always kind of like, you guys know I did the thing. I will just say, in the meantime, the one place no one will ever find me is in Starfield. And so just know that I am not in Starfield.
You know what? Because you said you're not in Starfield, according to quantum mechanics or physics, one of the two,
yes,
that means in some universe, some parallel dimension, you are not only the star of Starfield, you're the only person in Starfield.
I'm the only, literally, it's like Roger Field.
Yes.
That's a game I would play right now. It would end all, space-time continuum would be torn apart. That would be horrible.
But what a way to go.
Yeah, you know what? You're darn right.
Yeah.
No, all guys, right, Ray. Just incredible job again today. This I hate you guys. Like, I love being a part of these things, and I'm always like, there's no way that I, like, bring a decision that doesn't have me fearing the retribution from either one of you, let alone your fan base, let alone the internet at large. The fact that you put Darth Vader and Venom, and you're like, we got a good one for you, Darth Vader and Venom. I'm like, gee, thanks. This will be great. Everyone's going to hate me, no matter what. So, well done, yet again. I loathe you guys.
I mean, this is not news to you, Roger. This happened last time.
Oh, yeah. No, you guys are. I'd really like to go for, I don't know, like a Pippi Longstocking versus Juggernaut. Just something where you're just like, there's no, I mean, like, come on. Who?
Yeah.
One of you guys has to come into this kind of going, I don't know. I'll book it.
I lost a bet.
I will show you how Pippi Longstocking drops him.
All right. Maybe.
Pippi Longstocking's not that person from Wendy's, Ray. That's a completely different person.
But that's another, have you guys considered going like Wendy's versus Ronald McDonald?
We did do Ronald McDonald versus Burger King.
Yes. His Royal Highness, the King of Burger?
Yes.
Correct.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how cutting edge we are.
That's top five episode of the show as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
Who would win? Who did win?
Ray, go ahead. Tell them who won.
I think you have to go listen to the episode and find out for yourself. Please. We're not here to give things away free.
Tune in and find out. Okay, good to know.
Excellent.
Good to know. No, you guys are the worst. Thank you for having me on again, and thanks for giving me such easy ones to pick here. It really was. This was not an easy one. I'm not just BSing you guys. This was not an easy one.
You know, we were trying to get more and more creative and make things really, really hard. And again, there is no one else who could have been the perfect judge for this episode other than you. You did great.
You guys are, it's like, that's, those are arguments, these are rebuttals. This is me trying to come up with the stuff at the end. It's like, this is You stress me out on a Sunday night, guys, with your top-notch show.
Ray, you know what? I think if we do conventions, and Roger, we're talking about it. Ray, if we do conventions, I think we found our judge for
Look, Roger's got to come on and just be punished.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. You've given both of us horrible losses, but also incredible victories.
It's true.
But this is good. All right, Race to Canis. Congratulations. I got to tell you, I think this may be your top episode ever in terms of debating skill. Really great job. Congratulations on a well-earned win. Tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
Well, first off, let me just say, I'm so excited about the fact that one of the top five most embarrassing social faux pas of my entire life, me thinking I heard Roger Craig Smith in Starfield asking him how great it was to be in the game and him saying, I'm not in the game.
Not in the game.
That's top five socially most terrible moments of my life. I'm glad to know it can live on every single time we can possibly talk to Roger. Here's the deal. I love it now. It's a meme, and I'll go with it.
Thing.
And I die a little bit inside every time we talk about it. So well played, everyone involved. Second off, Disney Plus, I'm not kidding. Hire us. You have a pantheon of characters we could do Who Would Win show episodes about just using your catalog alone of Marvel and Star Wars and Bluey. We could make it happen is what I'm trying to say. Third off, Sega of America. Look at that application. Not going to say anymore. Just saying, look at it. It's right there from me. Take it. Fourth of all, nothing hurts worse than a Roger Craig Smith loss. When I lost that previous episode with the fangs and the claws and the Toon Force and Mickey Mouse, who I thought dominated that battle, coming up short, that one hurt. That one I carried with me, and not just because of the Starfield stuff. I carried that one with me for a while. So I'm going to say right now, Venom versus Darth Vader, ending in victory for me with Venom. Why? Because I'm great. That one slaps a little bit harder. I used to say, I don't enjoy the wins. I just can't stand the losses. Well, today, I'm going to enjoy this win like we beat Matt Stafford in the playoffs for the first time in 30 plus years. Detroit Lions fans, you know what I'm talking about. That's the level of joy that I feel today, right now. You can find me on Threads, not Twitter. You can find me on Threads at Almighty Ray 316. Heck, find me on Instagram there as well. I post a picture once in a while, and they're not very good. But find me anyway. Good night.
Wow.
Wow.
I know. All right. You can find me on...
I love... Like, come on, wow. That was the best.
I'm just getting texts from our sponsors going like, hey, did Ray get the memo and did he lay off being so crazy and abrupt and abrasive? No. And I'm like well, check out the next episode after your checks have cleared. And I'm sure you'll see what we're talking about. Anyway.
Play Marvel Strike Force. Do it. New sponsor to the show, everybody. Marvel Strike Force.
Marvel Strike Force.
Strike Force.
New user, Max Pool. That's your promo code. This isn't even the ad for him. You'll probably hear that in next week. Honestly, I don't think they start this week. The point I'm trying to make is go check it out anyway.
It's very topical.
Very topical. All right,
you can come to the Who Would Win show to get extra for your money. And I'm doing it today. People have called me a shill. And I say that's fine because I don't know what it means.
James, where do people find you?
You know, I'm not in a state of confusion, typically, after the show. You can find me on X, a.k.a. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group. It's almost 50,000, well, it's at least almost 45,000 people strong. To make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community, you can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Sicanus, Roger Craig Smith, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Remember Crime? crying when Optimus Prime died.
Or the days when every series had a ham-fisted anti-drug episode.
Or when you wrote fan fiction about how the Animaniac were so hot in that water tower so they took off all their clothes and they started...
No!
No, different podcast.
This one is Knowing is Half the Podcast, a show devoted to the best and worst animated memories of your childhood.
Every week we recap a cartoon from the past to see if they're as good as you remember.
They're not.
What are you talking about? They're great!
You're both wrong. None of them get good until they're in a water tower.
No!
And Knowing is Half the Podcast.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.